I think as well as looking ahead to BIM level 3, which I would hope that they're starting to think about and plan already. I think the important thing is once you've got that BIM level 2 destination set and the BIM adoption plan for your organization, I think the important thing is to make sure that that's led by management in whatever organization you're working in. And I think management would have set KPIs or should have set KPIs for BIM adoption. So the ways they're going to measure the BIM success. And that all comes back to the starting point of what is it that you want out of BIM. There are certain requirements that one may have to deliver to meet clients' requirements, but what are you setting as your own organization's objectives in terms of improvements you're looking to see, possibly as a side benefit of implementing BIM? So I think setting KPIs and then monitoring those during the first 90 days, but resisting the temptations to start changing things too early. I think after 90 days is probably a very good review point to look back and say, well, okay, we've implemented, we've now reviewed what we've implemented, and we're going to revise our processes and procedures. And we've got our eyes set on the horizon, which is BIM level 3.
There's also eyes on government soft landings because it's not just about BIM. There's all sorts of different things that we can actually factor in, and to really achieve a lot of different efficiencies. What do you think government soft landings mean for building firms?
Yeah, I another good question. I think in practical terms, it means handing over digital information about a built asset to the client or the operator. And I think from September, later this year, this information is going to be checked by government departments to make sure it conforms to what's required. And there is, of course, a standard COBE, which I think personally should be seen as the lowest common denominator for data handover. I think many people make the mistake of thinking a COBE spreadsheet is something that humans should be able to read and understand, but I think it's a schema, designed for interpretation by other software. So it's a lowest common denominator for data exchange, and I think. So although that's it's useful to have a standard, I think there are more sophisticated ways, sophisticated technologies of handling that data, but like Sitedesk, for example, the business that I work for now, which allows creation and maintenance of a digital asset during the construction phase, so that digital asset is ready for handover at completion alongside the physical asset. And I think that process of building a digital asset ready for handover during the construction phase, that avoids the hurried panicked rush towards the end of a project where people start to gather up the information that they hand over to a client. And typically that would be boxes of manuals and paperwork data, and it would fill a small room, if not a small warehouse. And of course is unsearchable and pretty much unusable. So I think it's a great idea, and it's a great advance in technology to start to build digital assets during the construction cycle ready for handover at the end. So I think it's about planning and implementing processes now when a project starts and not when the project finishes.
I totally 100% agree with that. Good segue that you mentioned digital asset, because I wanted to touch on that base next. What do you think the main benefits are of creating a digital asset for the construction and operational phases? If you can tell me a bit about that.
I think potentially the benefits are huge. I think improved clarity and speed of communication right throughout the supply chain, from the design office right to site, to workers on site, and then back again. I think, if one has a collaborative system, making a digital asset available for all the key stakeholders that are involved in that project delivery process, then they can all contribute to that. And that might sound a little bit disorganized, but clearly I think there need to be user restrictions and user rights. But I think once those rules are in place, I think you can have a greatly improved and accelerated workflow from design office to site. And that gives instant access on site to things like method statements, health and safety information, O&M information, and one can use digital forms with sign-off on site using tablet devices to ensure compliance. And it all sounds a little bit futuristic, but actually all these technologies are here now, and they've been with us for quite some time. And I think we just need to get used to using those and to start to replace some of the old paper processes with this contemporaneous record of digital information. So I think using the right technologies, again, like Sitedesk, I think this a digital asset comprising a 3D model, but having all the associated data linked, crucially linked to that model, so that one can navigate from the model to the data or from the data back to the model, I think is going to be vital. And I think having that kind of system in place avoids that time-consuming task that I mentioned earlier of collecting and digitizing all of that project data at the end of a project before handover to a client.
I want to stick with digital assets. What qualities should a good usable digital asset have? Can if you can, give people listening a bit of a base on that, because it's probably quite a complex answer. So I'll let you take it away.
I'll try and keep it brief, but I say again, good question. But I think the key is ease of use. And so often, I guess we all hear that from software companies claiming their software is easy to use. And the ultimate test of that is, what do the users think? What do people who use that tool think of the software? But it's crucial that it's easy to use and also designed with site use in mind. I think it's easy to forget the sort of field BIM idea, but I think it's important that we embrace mobile devices. They're great tools for disseminating information and for capturing information. They may not be the tools that you use to go through a cognitive process to design something or create something, but I think they play a key role in this whole cycle of construction information. So I think a simple and easy to use interface, and then something I mentioned earlier, I think this a 3D capability, but not just a 3D viewer, but 3D but linked to data, so one can navigate from a 3D model direct to the relevant information. One could be standing on site in front of a boiler that's being installed in a building and look at that in the 3D model on the tablet device and select that boiler and then pull up all the relevant documentation about it in terms of its installation and so on. So I think this linkage between data and model is going to be critical. I think the industry's moved on from just 3D viewers. They're interesting and fairly useful, but they're nowhere near as useful as having data linked to a 3D model. So I think that's crucial. And then, of course, a federated model so that there can be different views of a 3D model, showing all the different services, the MEP, and so on, either separately or all combined in the same view. And I think powerful search and select features, I think, are going to be crucial in order to search through all of that data and find exactly what you're looking for. And something I mentioned earlier, a field-based version, I think, for dissemination of information on site and capturing information like photos and videos. And they might seem a little gimmicky, these kind of tools, and some organizations use them for snagging applications. But I think actually, even during the construction phase, when issues are found on site, it's fantastic to be able to take a photo or a small video of what that issue is, pop it straight back into the system using the tablet device, and the designers can open that up, review the situation, and send the solution back without even visiting site. So I think there are genuine efficiencies to be had from features like that.
I agree. So, one of Space Group's companies, obviously a sister company of BIMCrunch, they're working on something with that kind of functionality. So, I agree. I think there is definitely benefits in being able to do that and, snag issues on site and then report back immediately to the people in the office who can sort that out, no problem. Just before we talk about site desk, I want to ask your advice on something else. For those firms who don't work on government projects, they don't bid for public sector work, that's not what they do. Should they be looking at BIM? I imagine so, but what do you think and why?
Definitely, I think they should be looking at BIM, but I think they should be asking, what's in it for me as an organization? What is in it for them if they go down the BIM route, and how can their clients benefit? So I think that's another question. What's in it for me? How can my clients benefit? How can I add value for my clients? And I think, particularly in the contractor space, I think if they get that right, potentially they'll find an uplift in fees for delivering a digital asset, which has great value to clients in terms of planning their FM capabilities further down the line. So I think they'd be offering additional value and can charge a fee for that. I think together with improvements in their own processes, which would naturally flow from adopting BIM, and we've talked about that earlier on, I think those improved workflows and the potential increased fees would most likely result in increased margins for contractor businesses. And I think given that the margins are relatively low in the contracting industry, I think that's something to be really valued, and it's a great motivator. And I think one other thing to remember is, if you're thinking, well, yeah, we can we earn pretty good margins already, BIM sounds like a complicated thing, maybe we won't do it. I think that one thing to remember is that as a contractor, you may have competitors who are also doing government work, and it may be that you don't do government work, but perhaps they do. And if they do government work, they will be adopting BIM, which means they may then be offering BIM to their non-government contracts. So you will have competitors in your space who are offering BIM potentially to your clients. So I think there's a competitive edge to consider here in terms of adopting BIM, as well as a potential uplift in margin.